I went from thing to thing, but I was never able to stop and step back and be like, wow, I did it. And it was only in the crashing down of everything that I was like, okay, who am I and what do I want?
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome to a very special episode. Today, we're celebrating the 100th episode of Unconventional Life. So if you haven't noticed already, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. I'm your host, Raya Schroeder. I'm Director of Operations at Unconventional Life, and I'm also Jules' sister. I've been with Jules since the beginning of Unconventional Life's launch, working behind the scenes for the past year and a half, but today I'm making a guest appearance as your host. Today I have the honor of interviewing our host, Jules Schroeder. Jules, tuning in from Lisbon, Portugal. Welcome to the show. Are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Woohoo! Yeah! It's so cool being on this side of the table. And after just spending the last few days speaking at the largest digital nomad conference here, leading workshops, dropping a lot of unconventional life knowledge, literally my talk was ignoring conventional wisdom to live an unconventional life. So excited. And guys, we did it. 100 episodes. Woohoo. I literally know we had a friend of mine a few weeks ago and he's like, you're about to come up to the 100th episode. And he listens a lot to the podcast and he's like, what are you going to do? And in that moment I was like, what are we going to do? I was like, stay tuned. So here we are doing it differently, switching things up. And I'm excited. Episode number 100. Here we go.
Yeah, so excited to get into this. Congratulations. 100 episodes is such an accomplishment. And I know how much diligence it takes, you know, being on the side, consistently getting those episodes out there every single week, nurturing that audience. Such an accomplishment. So, Jules, you are the founder of Unconventional Life. It's a podcast on the Forbes Under 30 channel. You're also a Forbes columnist with over 100 published episodes and over a million collective article views. Unconventional Life is also a live events experience company, hosting live five-day business accelerators in exotic locations all around the world in places like Bali, Italy, and one upcoming in Nicaragua. You created your first six-figure company at age 18 and your first seven-figure company at age 22. So success at an early age. Jules, fill in any gaps I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Raya, thank you for the introduction. We were literally sitting, I don't know, we went to a concert at Red Rocks, which is this amphitheater in Colorado with our parents who, they live in Breckenridge, and it was the first time they went to a show at Red Rocks, and we were on our way back. It was like 11:30 at night, and Raya and I were like, so we gotta like record this episode, and she's like, yeah, and she started joking with me. I was like, what if you just did it exactly how I did it, but with your own spin to it, just at least in the beginning. And we had a lot of fun, so it's cool to hear you throw it down my style back in me. And for those of you who don't know, Raya's actually heard every single episode because she runs operations, so she works with the team on production and logistics and all that other stuff. So super cool. So yeah, glimpse into my personal life. I just finished a project that I've been working on for 9 years. So for those of you guys tuning in that have had this project that you've been sitting on for a few weeks, a few months, maybe a few years, this business idea that you haven't acted on, it took me 9 years to finally do this one. And what I'm talking about is my first ever original album. So I literally, since our event in Italy, had about 11 songs come through to me. And how I write is very much through channeling, just how I speak, just how I do a lot of our podcasts. It's all impromptu. It's all in the flow and in the moment, moment by moment. And I had 11 songs come through as transmissions and decided that 7 was going to be the number for the album. And literally over the summer, I put 7 songs together and just finished it up in Vancouver. And that'll be coming out in early to mid-October. So excited. And it's like the next layer of my vulnerability You know, it's one thing to be on a podcast sharing myself, or to be, you know, on a stage of around 1,000 people yesterday, you know, sharing my story. But to share myself through my music is so edgy for me. And 9 years later, I can finally say it's happening. So stay tuned, guys. I'll have all the details for you on that. So.
Yeah, so amazing. I've heard some of those songs already, get little sneak previews on Facebook, but I'm so excited to hear all of them in the lineup. And I just want to say, I think it's incredible that you've been able to film that album in such short time. You know, Jules runs a really busy schedule, always traveling to different places. You were just in Canada, now you're in Portugal, heading next to Iceland. So to be able to just film an album, you know, in those little periods of time that most of us take for granted, you know, the in-between time, but I think that time really adds up, and to be able to squeeze it in, something like as big of a project and undertaking as an album in those little in-between times is incredible. So definitely looking forward to hearing those. Jules, one of the things that I want to highlight about your story is you have a remarkable ability to persevere through, you know, the hard times that really test an entrepreneur. Your journey hasn't been all smooth sails, and I can remember when you were 22 years old, you actually experienced, you know, one of the greatest setbacks that an entrepreneur can experience, total bankruptcy and deterioration of your business nearly overnight. You had a business partner. You found out he was secretly embezzling money, destroyed your reputation, destroyed the business nearly. How did you bounce back from that? You know, give us the world of what it was like to find out about that. How did you navigate it? And how did you continue to keep a positive mindset moving forward?
Yeah, great question. So I love this. It's like six-figure company at 18, seven-figure company at 22. By the age of 24, she loses everything and goes into $200,000 worth of debt overnight. Stay tuned to the next segment. Like literally my whole life has just been these series of peak experiences. And sometimes it's peak positive and sometimes it's like peak intensity. And more than anything, they've shaped who I am. And that's why I think I love our show so much, is because it's constantly telling the stories. And I find we can often see ourselves through other people's stories. And especially in the hardships and the setbacks, the moments where you're like, you're freaking crazy to keep going, is when we get those hits of inspiration. And so for me, there I was. It was December of 2013. I was actually a sponsored snowboarder at the time. And I was snowboarding 26 mountains in 4 different countries in 30 days, literally like top of the world. I get back a few weeks later and I find out my then business partner had been embezzling a bunch of money, go into $200,000 worth of debt overnight, was dating my other business partner. And in a matter of 8 months, I lost everything that was important to me. I broke up with the other business partner. I was like, let's just take a break. And then we had to uncouple while still running a business. We had to deal with the IRS, with lawyers, the DA. Working with us at the time was $30,000 per client. And it just was a whole mess. And so what I decided to do was, as all of this was falling apart, draining my personal savings, losing the relationship, my decision was, let me work harder. Let me do more. And I know some of you guys can relate to that. Everything's falling to hell. What should I do? Make more money. So I was like, let me start 3 new companies. Let me now go from 7 hours a day to 16 hours a day. And let me push and push and push so that I could then create the solution. What ended up happening 8 months later was I still hadn't made any money. I was spinning my wheels and not making any movement forward. At that point, I actually drained my health into the ground. You know, I was having these brain fogs all, you know, many hours a day. And I lost everything that was important, you know, the relationships, the status, the company. You know, at the time we were making books, bestsellers on Amazon in 2012, and we figured out the algorithm and we turned it into this big publishing company and did a 7-figure launch. And so I lost all those things and actually stepped back and did what any girl in my situation at 24 would do. I picked up the phone and I called my dad and I cried. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I've lost my money. I've lost my savings, my business, my relationship, like everything that I thought was important to me. And it was in that moment that I actually got to ask myself for the first time, who am I without all of these things? And even though I had been an entrepreneur, I was very much still living someone else's version of success. I was still following what I thought society wanted me to do, which was to care about the status, the things, the possessions, and all of those items. And also I found out I never personally could enjoy when I had success. And some of you guys might be able to relate to this as well. When I started my first six-figure company, I went from, you know, thing to thing, but I was never able to stop and step back and be like, wow, I did it. It was always the next goal, the next mountain, the next peak. And it was only when I got to step back in the crashing down of everything that I was like, okay, you know, who am I and what do I want? And so I decided to take 60 days off from everything. So instead of doing more, I was like, that's not working. Let me pause. Let me step back. Let me do less. And I created this 60-day game called the Hell Yes or Hell No game. And I live in Colorado in Boulder, which most of you know. And for those that are tuning in on video, you can see Raya is sitting where I normally would be sitting. In Colorado, you know, pot's legal. So what I did was I got really high most nights, pulled out my ukulele, I wrote songs, I cried, I healed, and I healed. And it was the first time where I went from this very heady, logic-oriented person to starting to actually feel my emotions for the first time. And it was scary and confronting and uncomfortable. And my hypothesis was, what if for 60 days, instead of saying yes to everything and doing more, what if I only said yes to the hell yeses and no to everything that was a maybe yes or maybe a should yes? And I think we all can talk about this. It's like when we get these invitations for the hell yes, it's like your full body is a yes to this whole expression before the invitation's even finished. Case in point, like I got invited to come to Portugal. I was like an instant like hell yes before she was even done. But then other times we get these invitations that are should yeses or they're obligatory yeses or they're the yeses we try to tell ourselves in our minds that should be the hell yeses. And it might be something like, hey, do you want to come out for dinner? Or do you want to come to this party this Friday night? And what I found end up happening is when you say yes to those experiences, they tend to be kind of should maybe experiences. So I got curious that if I were only to be a yes to the hell yeses, and I was a no or a not right now to everything else, what would my life look like? And what ended up happening is it took 45 of the 60 days just to get awareness, that being the step one in the moment of when this was happening. And then once I got the awareness, and what I mean by that is like someone sending an invitation and I used to just say yes before even considering if it was a hell yes or a no. But then I started to get awareness on when it was a hell yes or when it was a maybe yes. And then the last 15 days is when I started to sync up the action for that. And so more than anything, what I noticed is like going to the gym, you know, I'm an avid CrossFitter or working out, I started to build this muscle, this capacity for listening to myself. And the more I said no, and the more I acted only on the hell yes, it actually made space for a bigger yes or an opportunity or a business transaction that was more in alignment. And I found the more I did that, I've been doing it the last 3-4 years now, the more in aligned decisions that started to come to me. So the more I said only hell yes, the more aligned decisions started to come for me. So for those of you that don't have 60 days, you could try this right now, starting today in this moment for this next week. And when I started, I enrolled my friends, my family, anyone related to any business or work obligations. And I said, hey, my response times are going to be a little bit slower than usual and just bear with me for the next week. And the first step is awareness. So just start to notice what do invitations that you're receiving daily, it could be small and significant ones of where do you want to go for lunch or where do you want to go for dinner, to bigger ones, to bigger opportunities you might be contemplating in your life. And notice just how those things start to feel. Like I said, it took me 45 days just to get awareness. And then at the end of each day, you could reflect on this before you go to bed and just reflect on the day and how it went. And I have a friend of mine that runs this huge 8-figure marketing company, and he did this in a spreadsheet. And he literally at night would just tally how many opportunities he had, which ones he said yes to, which ones were the hell yeses that he, you know, ignored, and which ones were the maybe yeses and how did they go. And from that place, you can start to get awareness and ultimately build this muscle.
Yeah, I love that. Having the self-awareness to be able to say, you know, Einstein's definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, saying, this isn't working. I'm going to try something else. And I love that pioneer spirit in you to be able to try something that is the exact opposite of what most people do. You know, you didn't have a reference to follow, you didn't have a guide, and you didn't even know if it would work, but you were willing to do this. And, also to enroll your friends and say, hey guys, this is going to be going down. Most people are probably like, wait, what? You're kind of crazy. So I love that. So what happened after that? Right, you're in your business, you know, things aren't working, you're trying harder and harder, you play the 60 game. What was the result for you?
Yeah, so it's a game that I still put into practice. And what it was the first time I started to gain access to my intuition. And guys, this is a theme we explore on the show often, is a lot of our guests talk about these knowings or these insights, their clarity, intuition. And I, at the time before this happened, you know, at the age of 24, 25, I didn't have any access to my intuition. And what the Hell Yes or No game offers and what it offered me was just feedback with my intuition to start to be able to hear myself and listen to myself. And flash forward, I didn't realize at the time that this near-death experience is really just the beginning of this gutting out practice and process that, you know, 2 years go by, I'm in this practice, you know, going to music, and it's 2015, July of 2015, and I end up having this near-death experience. And this experience was, you know, I was out wakeboarding one day out in sunny Colorado in the summertime, and I hit the water, I face plant, you know, smack, and I knew in that moment that I was definitely injured, but, you know, I've been a big snowboarder, so I was like, okay, I'm hurt, but I'm not, you know, messed up. And an hour later, I got off the boat, and I was in the bathroom, and my whole arm started to go numb and tingly. And I remember barely getting out of there, and I looked at my friend in the eye, and I said, hey, something is really wrong. And, you know, I was like, I need to go to the hospital. I don't remember much else, but I remember coming out of the MRI, being in the hospital bed, and this white figure and six black shadow council member came towards me, and we had this conversation. And it was, Jules, you have more work to do in the world. Do you want to do it? And at the time, I was wearing, you know, at the time I thought my neck was broken, I couldn't feel my body. And I just remember saying, yes, as long as they don't come back as a vegetable. And I remember when I said that, I got back zapped in my body. I felt this energy forge my neck back together and shoot down my spine. And the moment I woke up, everything altered. And, you know, Raya, you were actually in the hospital with me yeah, that day.
I remember being in that room with you. And as you're saying, you know, you saw that white figure in the shadow council, you were actually telling me about this in real time with your eyes shut and just speaking to the overwhelming amount of love that you felt in the room. And for me, it was a little bit eerie, you know, thinking, wow, what's going on for my sister? She's here, is she paralyzed? She's in the neck brace. Now she's having contact with what seems to be another realm. What's going on? Just feeling fearful, but at the same time, the amount of peace that was emanating from you and how calm you seemed. It was reassuring to me. But yeah, tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I remember you shared with me, which I didn't actually remember until 3 months later, that I had said to you as this white light was coming towards me, I was like, I'm going into the light and I just got to go into the light. And I just had no recollection of saying that to you until you had shared that. And I imagine that must have been like, my sister's talking about a light. She's in a hospital bed. They think she's paralyzed. Like, yeah, that probably was pretty scary.
It was. You know, I had to come to terms with the fact that you were going to make your own choice. And I almost felt like something was comforting me in that moment to give me the tools to be able to give you your own agency. Well, if she decides to leave, that's up to her. You know, she's in the hands of something else right now, it seems. And obviously I would be devastated if you decide to leave, but I think we both had to confront your death for you and your death for me.
Yeah, it was nuts. So flash forward, you know, that experience was ultimately like the death that I had been going through with the embezzlement, the carving out, this hell yes or no game. And what ended up happening 3 weeks later was I got a call from this woman and she was like, hey, can you consult us? You know, our whole team is flying into town. I'd love to have you do some marketing consulting. And I'm like, it's not really the right time right now. Like, I'm in this neck brace, I'm still healing, I just had this experience, but it felt like a hell yes. And it felt like this hell yes. I was like, what am I supposed to do? And I was like, well, screw it. Like, I'm going to go. So I get there and it turns out that she is working for the United Nations on the 17 Global Goals campaign. And she's trying to find these 17 ambassadors to address each one of these issues. And this voice comes to me and it says, tell her you're in education and it's called Create You. And at the time, I have no business plan, no real idea other than a name and a neck brace. And she's like, oh, that's great. She was like, we'd love to have you be the ambassador for education. You know, can you be at the UN in 3 weeks to present about this? It's like, sure. So there I go, no business plan, no website, and my neck brace. And I'm like, all right, like, screw it. Like, let's do it. So in 3 weeks, I get it all together. I'm at the UN. And as I mentioned earlier, as a artist and performer, not only do I get the UN to perform and be this ambassador, their performer that's supposed to kick off this conference of the Global Goal Campaign, apparently is no longer able to make it. And so I send the organizer my YouTube link. And I'm like, well, I'm a performer. I can do it. And she looks and she's like, okay, you're on. And so I literally call up my buddy in Brooklyn and I'm like, hey, could you skip work tomorrow and come to the UN to accompany me on stage? And he's like, the United Nations? I was like, yeah. And so him and his buddy, they get this like drum and they come and we do a 20-minute improv set for these delegates. Like literally we're like, all right, let's hit this in the key of A minor. And I get on stage not having any repertoire of songs and you just improv and just channel it. And I get off and people are like, oh my God, they thought I was this like flown in performer and blah, blah, blah. Can I book you at this UN thing, that UN thing and whatever. And they totally forgot that I was even there for education. But it was so of just being in flow. And then as I'm on my way to the UN, I get this email from Forbes. It's like, hey, we heard what you're doing at the UN. Can you come to the Forbes 30 Under 30 event? And I was like, sure. And then flash forward, you know, 6 months later, as I say to my then boyfriend, I was like, I think I want to start writing for Forbes. And he's like, okay, no blogging experience, no track record. And I said, I was actually like, I want to host this podcast. It's called Unconventional Wife and blah, blah. And they're like, oh, why don't you host it on Forbes Under 30? Can it be ready in 3 weeks? And I say, sure. No guests, no show, no idea how to do a show, just a name. And literally I call up everyone that I knew in the podcasting space. And I was like, how do I do a podcast? And so we get it together and I'm literally sitting outside the hot springs in Iceland on a Wi-Fi device about to post my first article and my first interview. And I remember it goes live and I'm like, oh my God, oh shit. Like what's going to happen? And I wake up the next day and get 6,000 views overnight. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are listening to this show. And they're reading the article, like, what the heck is going on? And, you know, life continued from there. We ended up hosting these live events and things like that. But more than anything, it became this process of just yesing things into existence without having a plan or a business or a solution. I think so much of us, so many of us, we get stuck in this, you know, vehicle or this box that it's like, you better know what you're doing before you're going to do it. You better know your plan before you leave your job. You better know what your business is going to do, who it's going to serve, and how it's going to make money before you get after it. And in my own experience, I find that it's just this sharing and this radical expression, and then letting your environment give you feedback if it's viable. And so it's been a hell of a ride, to say the least, and really humbling. But more than anything else, I think back to those words often. You have more work to do in the world. Do you want to do it?
Unconventional Life family, would you like to take your business to the next level? Join us for a 5-day business accelerator in Nicaragua this November 30th through December 4th with 75 like-minded entrepreneurs from around the world designed to elevate every area of your life. We'll be staying in a private luxury treehouse, shuttling you from the airport in a private seaplane, catamaraning to different islands, seeing and interacting with local Nicaraguan people, and so, so much more. Head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Nicaragua to get all the details. Make sure to mention you're a listener of the show as applications go out quickly. We literally had 300 applications come in last time with just 50 spots sold out in about a month and a half. So head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Nicaragua now to get all the details.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible story. And I just want to highlight how, I guess, a different rationale that you have than most people. Like, I just got out of a neck brace. You had every excuse in the book to just be like, yeah, I'm going to really give myself to some time to recover, but I'm just going to do it anyways. And seriously, just.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I find that when we're in alignment and when I'm in alignment, like all of those things being in alignment, it's like the stuff that normally would hold you back or the stuff that normally would come up in your way actually doesn't become relevant in that moment because you're just present to the moment, in the moment, taking it moment by moment by moment. And if I've learned anything on this journey, it's cultivating that presence and just staying with it that allows stuff like this to ultimately become possible.
Yeah, the theme of alignment was something that seemed so apparent to me as well. You know, almost as if everything's not working and it seems like the universe has just given you the worst thing possible, you know, which is that embezzlement that's forcing you to stop and everything breaks. And it could appear, you know, at a first glance that something really terrible has happened, but it seemed like it was a massive gift for you and that it put you back in touch with getting silent and creating space, tuning back into you and getting in alignment. And after that, it seemed like a trail of breadcrumbs started to come to you where you were chasing, seeking out all these opportunities. All of a sudden, opportunities are now knocking at your door, and the only thing that you've got to do is check in with yourself and say yes or no.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it takes us to where we are now in a lot of ways, which, you know, you mentioned in the introduction, and I know many of you guys have joined us on our live experiences, which are these five-day business accelerators that we do. And guys, this started just about a year ago from a dream that I had. So in this dream that I have just about a year ago, I wake up and in my dream, I'm seeing 30 entrepreneurs gathering and I wake up and the first words out of my mouth are Bali. And at the time I wasn't interested in doing live events. I had no experience in live events, but the dream was just so vivid that it was calling me forward. And I know a lot of us can relate to this. We get these insights or knowings or ideas. Sometimes people say, hey, I had this thing that came to me in the shower, or, you know, you might've watched a great movie and it's like, ah, or you have this conversation. Yet what happens to most of us with these insights is we just die dead in the water, or we think ourselves out of them so quick. There's just no way I could do that. And I spent about 2 weeks doing that. I was like, live events, like, not for me. I have no experience. This is ridiculous. This is crazy. But it kept nagging at me. And so I was like, screw it. I'm going to do a live event. So I called my then friend who'd been in the space for like 15 years. And I'm like, how do we do a live event? She tells me. And in a matter of 8 weeks, I sold out our first live event in Bali last year to 30 entrepreneurs. And it was in the closing circle that last day where I looked around and it was the first time in my life that I felt fully self-expressed, that I had actually found the vehicle to engulf all of my passions, my singing, my performing, my love of facilitating, business, teaching yoga. And I looked at everyone. I was like, I don't know if we'll do it again. I don't know when, where, how much, but if you guys want to give me $500 as a deposit, we'll definitely do it. 30% of the people on the spot said yes, registered. And then I had to figure out how to take payment. I was like, holy crap. Like, I think I'm onto something. And for those of you hearing this that have a lot of passions in life, like I've always been the spokesperson for being multi-passionate. We get told, find your passion and then follow it and then you will be successful and have everything that you love. But what if you don't just have one passion? What if you have multiple passions? And it's taken me 28 years now to finally have found the vehicle, but I was like, hell yeah, like I get to use all of my gifts at the same time in the same way. And so I share this is that it is actually possible to find a vehicle and create a vehicle to support yourself in that way. Flash forward, I get ranked by Inc. Magazine as one of the top 27 women entrepreneurs changing the world in 2017 because they heard about the events we were doing, so they wanted to feature us. And then in Italy, we have over 300 applications come in for our last event in May, sell it out in about 2 months to 50 entrepreneurs. And here we are literally about to do this again in Nicaragua for 75 entrepreneurs. We already are, you know, over, you know, a third full. We just launched it. We've got like 60 applications that have come in. And more than anything, I'm just present to what happens, once again, being in alignment, but also through listening to myself. And it's been this process that I call rapid visioning, which is basically share first, get feedback, and then let that create. And it's in a lot of ways, this minimum movement, maximum impact strategy, where essentially you can take one step forward and get 10 steps out. And it's a way of effortlessly throwing things into the world and being able to create stuff. And, you know, I've definitely got a few case studies, but these events have definitely been one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think taking on something like an event, like, though I've got no experience at all, let me just Google it. And just being willing to just dive in with no experience and to be adaptable. Tell us about the rapid visioning strategy. If we're somebody who is liking the way this sounds, you know, wanting to get after something new, how do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it's like looking at what in your life, what's one step you could throw out right now, and in that one step, watching this ripple get created, and let that dictate the next step coming back moment by moment by moment. And so, you know, for me, I generated an $80,000 revenue stream this past March when I was going through this breakup with the guy that I thought I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And one lonely night in Colorado, I said to myself, I was like, man, I'm really missing my ladies. Like, I'd love to, you know, have a badass experience, like bucket list adventure style. So I threw up this Facebook post and I was like, anyone else missing their ladies want to take this great experience? I was like, if no one comments, I'm deleting it in an hour. A few minutes later, it starts blowing up. It becomes my most viral Facebook post and literally gets tagged by hundreds of comments. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, huh, well, what would be the next step? I was like, I should put all these people into a Facebook group because it's getting really crazy here. So I put them all into this Facebook group and I'm like, what would be the next step? Well, I should probably plan a trip. So I sent out this application and I'm like, $2,000. And I have 100 women in this group and 40 of them say yes to a $2,000 experience. And literally in a matter of 3 days, it becomes this $80,000 revenue stream. And so it would have been so conventional to have been like, hey, you know, let me go ahead and think about this idea for women and research all these venues and propose a trip and then spend all this time on my sales page and all this time trying to find my people versus like, let me just throw out a Facebook post and see if there's resonance or if people have any interest in this kind of thing. And you guys, you could do that right now in your life, no matter that thing you've been sitting on for a week, a few months, even a few years, and throw it out there. Put it on Facebook, put it on LinkedIn, call up a friend, share it with a few coworkers, and see what happens. And then from that step, stay present to the moment and ask yourself, what's the next logical step? And take it and create moment by moment by moment.
Yeah, it sounds like you didn't even have the step 100 before you had step two, you know, and you don't need to have step 100 before you have step three and then step four. And so just staying in the moment is pretty novel because logically, when we think of a business strategy, we are told to plan out step 100, but it could be something so simple as, you know, just getting instantly in touch with the reality of this by just actually putting something out there and just seeing where it takes you.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. So you were talking a lot about these events, and I know that it is the intersection of so many of your different passions. And for somebody who's never been to an event, take us into, you know, the world of what these events are like. Why is it that we have 300 applicants without any marketing? Why is it that people who come to these events are so touched that they want to share it with their friends and they want to come back again?
Yeah, well, the events, you know, are called business accelerators, 5-day business accelerators, and they definitely do accelerate your business. But more than anything, they're actually transformational events where in a lot of ways they are rewiring or essentially upgrading your cellular DNA. So it's like who you are as a person actually shifts and alters, and who you are after the event is actually shifted and altered. And I don't say that like as marketing language by any means. I'm simply speaking through the mouth of like our attendees in our feedback forms and ultimately what like I'm creating and holding the space for. And so that only becomes possible because it's the amount of integrity and intentionality in curating these events. I literally talk to every single person that comes to our event. Even people are like, can I bring my spouse? I'm like, I don't know. I have to talk to them first. And it's because it has to feel like 100% hell yes energy all the way around. And when that's present, that container gets to be really tight. And ultimately, all the people that are coming, it creates maximum environment for growth and expansion. And so, you know, our Nicaragua event, for example, we're picking people up from the airport, flying them in on a private seaplane where you'll be landing on a private beach and then staying in our luxury tree houses where we'll be contenting and have two content platforms overlooking the jungle and the beach. And we'll be doing yoga. We'll have all these chefs islanding to different places, doing different excursions, fire dancers, hula hoopers, performers, and all kinds of fun things. But more than anything, the people that come, it's like coming to meet your community of best friends rather than networking transactionally. And I know some of you guys have been to a lot of events, and I personally have been to so many events, and even this event I spoke at, this conference, it's like you leave and there's so many faces and people that you don't know that you leave and can sometimes feel more alone than when you even got there. And so I made it for me, and it was important to me to have depth. And at our experiences, you know, we really go deep. So you get to know people before you even come. And I love watching in our Facebook group, like the selfies of people like, now I'm in, you know, Ibiza, Spain, taking my picture, or we just had this meetup in New York City, or we're doing these dinners. And so it is about having this network. So whether they support you in the business idea today, or in 6 months, or 6 years from now, that you have this tribe that you get to feel connected to. And that in a lot of ways is priceless. And it's, you know, meeting people in their life that are from so many different countries. Like, our community is so huge that when we all get to come together, you know, stuff that might take months or years on our own gets to happen, you know, on a quantum upleveling in a matter of days.
Yeah, so incredible, the community that you're cultivating at these events. I think we can often feel so isolated, those of us that identify with living an unconventional life, and that the voices that we're surrounded with on a day-to-day basis is when we're trying to, you know, live a life that is calibrated to us as an individual, we're often going upstream against society. You know, people in our lives that are close to us saying, that's kind of crazy, you probably shouldn't do that. But there's something about being in community with people, you know, that this event brings together, where suddenly you're surrounded with people who are saying, oh, hell yeah, you should totally do that. So the notion that you're not crazy, but actually other people get you and they're here to encourage you and support you. And having a network like that where, you know, a lot of the attendees are actually people who are, you know, in tons of different industries, different entrepreneurs, but they're actually established businesses. So to be able to have mentors and people in your community that you can turn to actually have the horsepower behind them to legitimately help you, is super invaluable.
Yeah, so good. You know, and there's an event happening in Greece, actually, that five of our women attendees put on after meeting in Italy. And it's coming up. It's called Free the Goddess Retreat, which is all about, you know, empowering women to empower themselves to be running businesses in the world and to come into their, you know, introspection and things like that. And that all got birthed just out of collaboration. And now, you know, all best friends, industries coming by to combine together, and different stages too. You know, you don't have to be master entrepreneur of like 15 years to be at one of our events, but it's having the openness and the curiosity and the, you know, awareness. And, you know, whether you're transitioning out of corporate or you're running a side hustle, there is a place for everyone at the events too.
Yeah. So cool. Starting out as strangers and then 5 days later, new business partners, creating events, international events. So awesome. So, Jules, I want to transition into the rapid fire round. And my first question for you, if we really knew you, what would we know?
If you really knew me, you would know that I am an introverted extrovert. Meaning I love hibernating in my mountain bubble. As extroverted as I am, you know, talking on the podcast or getting on stage with the UN or things like that, is I really value like hermiting. And I love radical self-care. You often won't find me working before 12 o'clock because I'll be crossfitting or reading, but I love to be by myself and I get overstimulated really easily.
Yeah, totally. I guess I only get this perspective because I'm your sister, but I actually live with Jules, and she has this thing where sometimes she'll just say she's cocooning. And if you don't make the cut, it's pretty clear. Sometimes I don't make the cut when Jules is cocooning. She gets really exclusive with who's closest to her and who she's going to, you know, allow in her energy space. And I get it. Like, who we surround ourselves with is everything, and it totally impacts us. But yeah.
My dog. My dog.
Jules and the dog is the only one that makes the cut. She's like, Raya, stay away. Awesome. So question two, if you could turn back time and have a conversation with your 20-year-old self, what piece of advice would you give to her?
Don't take yourself so seriously, and there's no gap between where you are and what you want. It's all unfolding perfectly in this moment and in every moment.
Such wisdom. So what is one tool that you use daily that sets you up for success?
I would say Calendly. It's pretty ninja. It converts time zones really easily and efficiently, and you can use it everywhere.
Awesome. Yeah, super useful for our nomads when we're trying to convert time zones. Oh, I'm just about to get a call with somebody in Bangladesh. What the heck does that mean? What is mountain time? Awesome. So what's a weird fact about you, or what's one thing that you're really proud of?
A weird fact. I'm really particular about my environments, especially my sleeping environments. I have to be really, really comfortable. And so I'm someone that will research 50 million hotel rooms and read every review or Airbnbs, and it's constant. Yet simultaneously, if someone else plans it, I can totally go with the flow. But when I'm left to planning my own space, I'm so meticulous. It's better to be Jules, come on a surprise adventure. It's way easier for me to yes that than to be Jules, can you plan out this 6 or 7 day long vacation? I'm oh no, don't hold me with that responsibility. So.
We were traveling around in Bali for a month last November, Jules and I, and just to say it, just traveling with Jules was quite the adventure. We would go to one place and we had already booked, and she'd go, no, I don't really feel like this place. And I'm already got my stuff in, and I'm yeah, let's go. This place is awesome. And she's nope, we're going to book somewhere else. I can't tell you how many times we did that. And so about your space is great when you're traveling alone, but when you're traveling with other people.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I can also, camp in a van, and, I literally spent 14 days in a van through British Columbia this summer. But it's feeling comfortable is really important to me. So
yeah, absolutely. My final question for you is, what does living an unconventional life mean to you?
Aligned trust and commitment to the commitment of being in the unknown. So just saying yes to the process, no matter how it looks, how it feels, or how it unfolds, and radically accepting everything for what is.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's I want to put that saying somewhere. I want to get it embroidered somewhere. Put it on a Buddha statue somewhere. Jules, I hear you have a giveaway for our listeners.
Yes, guys. So I love you all tremendously. I would like to give away an hour of my time. And for any of you that are listening, I'd like to actually just talk one-on-one with one of you and offer myself either as a mentor or as a business call, or just hey, I don't know what to do with this thing that's happening in my life call. And so you guys can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to get the details on that. And guys, I'd love to know how it is this show for you. I get to hear so many of you with your emails and different things, ways of commenting on our social media and stuff. But I'd love to know that if you've been a listener for even this episode or many of our other episodes, please get in touch and let me know what this show is doing for you and how it's impacting you. It gives me the fuel and the energy to be literally at 8 o'clock at night in Lisbon, Portugal, being late to a networking party, because this is more important and this is more of my highest excitement. So let me know how this is all going for you.
So anybody listening, if you want to have a chance to win that giveaway, just head over to unconventionallifeshow.com and enter your email, and you'll have a chance to talk with Jules for an hour.
Jules. And a bonus is that Raya actually helps run the team that picks those giveaways. So you can send her an email if you want to further your chances, Raya@unconventionallifeshow.com. And I'm Jules.
Okay, Jules. We're not unethical here at Unconventional Life. I will not be picking favorites. We will do a random and fair giveaway. But yeah, any emails that are entered into that giveaway between now and the next week will have a chance to win. So head over to unconventionallifeshow.com now. So Jules, how can our listeners stay more in touch with you and get more involved with Unconventional Life?
So guys, if you love this podcast, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast if you're not already. I know we have a bunch of subscribers. I'd love for you to leave us reviews. We are expanding into so many new international audiences, but I'd love to know just your feedback of how this is going. And if you want, send me an email, jules@unconventionallifeshow.com. And if you want to learn more about our Nicaragua event, it's coming up November 30th through December 4th. For 75 entrepreneurs. And it's okay if you've been in corporate or you've had success and you're lower on the entrepreneurship spectrum, will still be worth the conversation. And like I said, I talk to every person that comes. So it'll be a 5-day business accelerator. you can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Nicaragua to get all the details. And we have so many applications that come in. So please tell me you're a listener of the show. You know, our team sorts through them, and then I ended up getting on the calls with everyone that comes. But I'll let the team know. Well, here's Raya. Raya will let everyone know that.
The team.
Yeah, and, you know, that will be, to expedite you through the application process. But I would love to have more countries represented. We had 12 with the last one, and it's just such a pleasure to get to know you guys all as well. And I just want to say, like, I'm so humbled and honored to be on this journey with all of you and to have all of this become possible. And it feels like we're just getting started. And so this has been just a radical experiment, and it still is an experiment. And if you've gotten anything from this segment, one of the things that I'll be doing from this point moving forward is once every few weeks, I will be doing my own segments of the show where it will be Jules unplugged and unscripted, just sharing about my life and what's happening. And I'll also be doing a Q&A series along with that. So if there are questions that you have or things that you want to know, you can start sending those questions in. And we'll take this next journey, this next segment of time together and see where we end up. And so much love to you all so far.
So awesome. Such another piece to be looking forward to. Well, thanks so much for this interview, Jules. It's been an honor to be on the show with you. And thanks for listening, Unconventional Life Family. This is your host, Raya Schroeder, wrapping up another great episode. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bam, you rock. Thank you. 100 episodes. Woo-hoo! And so much more awesomeness coming at you guys soon. Let us know what you think. Did you like this episode? How did Raya do? I think she nailed it. So round of applause for Raya. And
quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And typically more of a behind the scenes kind of so for me to step up, I'm like, all right, Jules, I'll do it. But we literally had to pause in the middle of the episode, and Jules had to walk me through a meditation to come back into myself. So it's
stepping outside your comfort zone.
Stepping outside my comfort zone. Here we are.
Thanks so much, fam. We love you. And we'll talk to you guys soon.